Hi, this is Camila Collins from Dallas, Texas. I am an equity and inclusion consultant. Today's topic was social and self-identity. You're listening to Race, Violence, and Medicine. Blessings.
Welcome to Race, Violence, and Medicine. I am Dr. Brian H. Williams, surgeon, speaker, activist, and right now I'm standing inside, I can't remember where we are right now, but we had a board meeting for the Dallas Holocaust Museum, and today we did our equity, diversity, and inclusion training, and I'm here with Camila Collins. Did it Camila or Camila?
Camila.
Camila Collins. I apologize for butchering that name at the beginning, but she gave us a fantastic seminar. And I just want to sit here and talk because she said some things to me that resonated with me and also challenged my perceptions about what EDI means in the workplace, to society, and to me as an individual. So, Ms. Collins, Camila, thank you for joining us on Race, Violence, and Medicine.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
All right, just to start off, just give us a little bit of background on yourself. Because today you talked about your, what the words you used, social identity versus personal identity. Mm-hmm. Is that the phrases
yes.
you use? And you describe the two and how you are perceived versus mm-hmm. how you perceive yourself.
So I identify as a black woman in America, cisgender, and I do not sexually identify. With that, it's important to acknowledge that I am also of French Creole heritage as well as Bohemian. And so there's this dynamic of my ethnicity, right? And then there's how I show up in the world. And I am 100% I'm a black woman in America.
Okay. Now, where'd you from? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas, so I like to say, you know, I am a country girl with city tendencies.
Nice. Let me look at you cross-eyed just now when you said you're from Kansas, right? Because that just messed up with my perception, my social identity. Okay. So just make sure I got that. You talked about your, you said personal identity? Is that the right?
Social and then self-identity.
Social and mm-hmm. self-identity. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our interactions are based on social identities, and that's
how
where
perceived and assumptions people make about us.
That's where biases come in
Absolutely.
And impact. So tell us a little bit more about that, please.
So with our social identity, that's where bias and privilege come into play, because it's not something that we necessarily opt into. It's what exists. It's how people perceive us. So if your perception of me is perhaps that I am affluent, then you're going to perceive and treat me a certain way that is based on that assumption. That may be nothing that I told you. That may be in my style of dress. It may be assumptions about my education based on how I speak. These are all assumptions that we have somehow over time made in our mind, into our database, and said, okay, if you do these things, then you're this. Or if I see this about you, it means this. It's all meaning that we have made assumptions and applied to people that we experience. So that's your social identity. Now, sometimes our social identity and our self-identity, it matches up, it is in alignment. But it's just important to note that I always hear people that, well, you know, they feel that privilege is something that you take advantage of, or you can kind of opt into or opt out of. No, it's not how it works, because it's based on your social identity. It's not based on something you chose.
Okay, so we need to unpack that a little bit more, because that was another thing today that really got my wheels turning. But I'll speak for myself first, is that I know that my social identity and my self-identity are not in alignment, like how I think people look at me mm-hmm. as a black male, and how I think of myself as being much more than just that, are contradictory, I should say. I'm making some assumptions, but it does impact how I interact with people on a daily basis, and constantly navigating, you know, how do I look? Am I smiling? How I say what I say? And that is absolutely exhausting.
Yes.
And sometimes it gets me kind of angry that I have to do that, right? So I'm just being straight.
Some of what you're alluding to, there's a couple of things there, right? And I'll just give you some of the language, and people can unpack it okay. or go Google it, search it for
right.
themselves. So social threat, like stereotype threat. What that is there's a weight that you carry based on the fact that how people perceive you, or people, the story that people are telling about you, the stereotypes that people may have or society has about you. You know they exist, so then you're so busy counteracting that that adds another weight or threat onto your day-to-day existence.
I think it's taken ways, right? I think it's taken years off my life, I think.
Facts. It's an emotional labor that we carry. There's also imposter syndrome, where there's this social expectation that we feel like everyone wants us. We need to be this. The bar is here. We need to be excellent in all things. We need to be perfect in all these things. And that's like who we need to present ourselves as. Because deeply underneath that is an insecurity that if I show my authentic self, I'm not going to be affirmed.
That, okay, so the first thing you talked about was stereotype threat. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Which is not the definition that I had in my head. Because you would ask me if I had imposter syndrome, I would have said no.
But it's because how you are overcompensating. A lot of it's just based on social expectation and the behavior that we are, and the energy that we put into matching that expectation. But the expectation in and of itself could also be an assumption. Like, do you really know that people expect this of you? Has someone told you that? No, but similar to other things, it's what we have seen over time or what we've been taught and learned.
Right. So the stereotype threat, imposter syndrome, you're about to give me some other definition?
There are some other things.
Okay, give us one more. Let's make it three. Three's a good round number. Okay, how about that?
Okay, so we have stereotype threat, we have imposter syndrome, but we also have just generally, are you in alignment with your own integrity, with yourself, right? And that's a personal evolution, right?
Is there a phrase for that?
Not for me. Like, okay. I look at it as, for me, it's integrity. Are you in integrity with yourself? Is what I in my actions aligning with my thoughts, my words? And that's a life journey, right? So some of that is over time, immaturity in our own sense of security, our self-worth, that discovery of who I am internally, and do I really care what other people think of me? Some of that is the internal and the self-work that we have to do on a deeply spiritual and personal level.
So my wife worships Oprah. And I swear that was like some Oprah-level stuff that you just dropped on me right now.
I mean, you weren't expecting it. I tried to hit you and sneak that in. I was like, well, if he going to ask for a third, let me go ahead and try.
Okay, all right. So that hit me too. So stereotype threat, imposter syndrome, and
just living in integrity, living in your authentic self, as Sister Oprah said.
Bringing everything that you are to the table all the time and being able to feel like you're free to do that.
Yeah, and the word that I will also use in part is your intersectionality. So all the things that make you who you are, you bring your whole self to any situation. Whether you are articulating that or not, you are bringing all of that into your thought life. So part of that is, if I am a Christian, if I am a person of color, like, I'm bringing all of myself to every situation. So just owning your intersectionality.
Camila Collins, I think we're going to have to end right there. There's so much more I can go into right now, but gosh, that was so good. If I were to stretch that out, I think I'd ruin this episode. So we're going to call it a day right there. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
All right, that was Camila Collins. She just gave the workshop at the Dallas Holocaust, or to the Dallas Holocaust Museum Board for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. And she was very gracious with her time to give me a quick segment. Well, not for me. This is definitely for you. So make sure you please share this episode with your family and friends. Again, it's Race, Violence, and Medicine. You can follow it at my website, brianwilliamsmd.com. You can check this out at anywhere you get your podcasts. And please take time to share with your family and friends. But lastly, as always, send me your comments, suggestions, and critiques. This show is for you. If it's not working for you, I need to know. Once again, Race, Violence, and Medicine, Dr. Brian H. Williams, thank you for joining me.